heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, it is an understatement to say we are living in some interesting times. And I know I tell you that all the time, and I'm sure you talk about that with your friends and family, but it's interesting for a lot of reasons, and maybe not the most apparent that we're looking at. Sometimes we have to look a little further, I think, to get deeper into the story. And I certainly would like to do that today with you, friends. We have this pandemic virus that is sweeping the globe. We're all working through that. It's an odd time. We haven't seen this before in our lifetimes specifically, but here we are. We have the rise of China. And we've been talking about this for years. This is not a new event. I mean, a lot of people think it is. If you just turned it on or woke up from a long sleep, maybe it is to you. But we've been talking about this. And it is happening right now. And it's a country, 1.4 billion people. And they are on the move. And current events cement that. It's not just a theory. It's a fact. You see changes in the Middle East. You see a lot of things changing and playing out in the Middle East. You know, in 1995, Congress passed the Jerusalem Embassy Act, which declared that Jerusalem would be recognized as the capital of the state of Israel. And the bill also stated that the American embassy would move to Jerusalem within 5 years. And this kind of thing has been off again, on again throughout time through the various administrations. They've all promised it, Bush and Clinton and Obama all the way back. Nobody ever did it because they didn't have the gumption to do it, you know, to put it politely. Okay. Well, finally it happened, and the embassy opened at its Jerusalem location on May 14th, 2018. This was the 70th anniversary, by the way, of the creation of the modern state of Israel as we know it. Before that, of course, as you know, it was in Tel Aviv. So, and this was all done by the Trump administration. So why did Trump see that as a moment in time, and all the other administrations who promised it to the American people never delivered? You're seeing a lot of other changes in the Middle East. The politics out there have changed dramatically. You've seen the rise of caliphates. You've seen now how the Trump administration has taken all that on. You also see the isolation of Russia. We're talking, this is another version of a Cold War here, is what we've got going on here. And this is compliments of our political elites, the operatives, the betters, who know better than us. This is compliments of them, the Cold War that we've got going right now with Russia and Putin. And again, the danger in all this, as I've been reporting in the last many days, is you now have an axis of evil that is being created with China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, a lot of enemies in there. Not a good program. This was a dumb play by our political elites here in America. We should have never isolated Russia again. We've been through that already with the Reagan era, who pulled us out of that. And here we are again. You know, sometimes you have to learn from history, people. You just can't keep repeating the same garbage in, garbage out. You know, at some point we got to wake up. And then you see here in the States the rise of socialism, or communism, let's call it what it really is, in America here. That is way out of the closet now, no longer a hidden idea or a thought, something we would, you know, kid about as kids and thought, yeah, it would never happen here, communist in America. And even though there was a communist party, it was kind of quiet, silent, and in the closet. But like everything else today, nothing is silent into yourself or in the closet anymore. It's out in the public. And now we talk about these things like they're real considerations and thoughts. It's amazing how that's all changed in the pact of the last, really, 10 years through the Obama administration, more so into where we find ourselves today. And that's the political party, the Socialist Democrat Party of America. That's compliments of what they've done in going so far to the left, you can't recognize them, you see. Now that's what that's all about. So you've got the change in political winds in America that are blowing. And they are blowing hard. And then you have the rise of Donald Trump. A lot of people, and nobody really understood why evangelicals embraced Trump. Nobody could figure that one out. Just go back and read some of the columns and the articles over the past few years. They're quite humorous, actually. And even some of the videos that, you know, he would never win. And they've all said it. Pelosi's on, you get it all. You know what I'm saying. I mean, everybody said that. Trump never had a chance. And so you have this political shift happening in America now where President Trump and the Trump administration has become a real threat. He's become a threat to the system. And you see that playing out in real time right now with these daily press conferences and everything going on with this corona business, you know. And you just can see the underlying link of politics, people, and how it's flowing out there. I'm sure it's not lost on you at all what's taking place here. And then there are a lot of people questioning to me, well, why does President Trump have those people up there, that Anthony Fauci guy and that Deborah Birx? A lot of people don't trust them specifically. You probably know what I'm speaking about here. And then there's a lot of political baggage with these folks as well. And they say, well, why does Trump have them there? I don't know that there's an easy answer for that. Although it's hard to explain anything Trump really does. He always seems to have a reason or a motive, isn't it? And we may not know it at the moment, but it always seems to come back later on. It's like, oh, that makes sense. Now I understand. Well, that's what it is with President Trump, clearly. You know, I mean, we always seem to find that later on. What was he doing? What the reason is he made that strategic move? And sometimes when he makes the move, we kind of, you know, like hit our heads and think, what the hell is he doing? Why is this president doing that? We've all done that. Come on. You've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. It doesn't make sense at the moment. And again, I guess, you know, some of the senior military leaders explained it to me this way. From the beginning, this was, by the way, that Trump plays a 10-level game of chess. Why most people are playing checkers, he's playing 10 levels of chess. Well, that in itself, friends, if you put that into your mind a moment and understand what that means, that should blow your mind. If this man really is playing 10-level chess. Because you see, that's what the Chinese do real well. And actually, those in the Middle East as well. They play the long-term strategy, and they also play 10-level chess. Not so much in the way that Trump is, but they still are thinking long-term. And I think that says plenty if you look at it in the context of what I'm saying to you. This is kind of what Trump does, but he does it in a very unique way. So it's kind of outsmarting some of the enemies, I guess. And we've seen that with all the trade deals and the illegal immigration and the courts. And of course, at the same time, the Socialist Democratic Party of the United States is getting more unrest because their policies are crumbling and they're being undone. You know, all these years of progress over the past 50 to 75 years that they've made progress in America are now being unraveled, and they don't like it. And they're striking back, which is why you've had all this collusion business and impeachment business and COVID business and all kinds of business happening to try to silence this all or change the political winds back a little bit. Now, that may seem extreme or like a hard ass, like what I'm saying there, but think about it enough, and I think you'll find some truth to what I'm speaking about. Today, friends, I want to talk to you about another character in all of this, and that's Bill Gates. And a lot of you probably follow Bill Gates. He's in the news feed, I guess, the flow of news, the kind of the underground of information through social media. On the peripheral areas, you're starting to see a lot more about Bill Gates. And then you got to kind of dive into it to really know what Bill Gates is really up to. Now, and we're going to talk about that today and talk about a few other things. And I'd like to do that, friends, with you and bring on a good friend of the show, Dr. Carol Swain. You know her. She's an award-winning political scientist, a former professor of political science and professor of law at Vanderbilt University, the author of 8 books and host of Be the People. Carol, it's good to have you. I always love talking with you. And I just want to have a real conversation today and talk about this because I know you've been following this. And so let's start with Bill Gates a moment here. Now, Bill Gates is described on TED Talks as a passionate techie and a shrewd businessman. Now, I know he's a shrewd businessman, Carol, because we all bought Hook, Line, and Sinkers, that trashy Windows program he was selling for years. We'd pay the annual fees and buy that thing up like it was sliced bread, and it was the worst program ever invented. And so I know he's a shrewd businessman for sure, because I pulled away from him probably 25 years ago and no longer use any of his products. But anyways, he's moved on. Bill, and TED Talk says now, Bill Gates changed the world while leading Microsoft to a dizzying success. Now he's doing it again with his own style of philanthropy and passion for innovation. Now, of course, everybody should know he's the founder and former CEO of Microsoft. And Microsoft, and there's a lot you can say about that and where that comes from. But right now, they've got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And they're doing a lot of things around the world. And some of the stuff on the surface seems pretty good until you really dig deep. And the problem is a lot of people don't dig deep, Carol, because they don't have the time. At that TED Talk he did, one of the big TED Talks he did in 2010, in fact, it was February 2010, he unveiled his vision for the world's energy future. It's quite an interesting piece, about 25 minutes or so. And I watched the whole thing here just the other day. And actually, I watched it twice. That was the second time I watched it to remind myself. I watched it years ago. But he described the need for miracles to avoid the planetary catastrophe and explaining why he's backing a dramatically different type of nuclear reactor and zero carbon emissions globally by 2050. And this thing has got about 6 million views, and he gets into all of this in a very unique way. Now, it's interesting because the world today has about, we understand, about 6.8 billion people. It's headed up to about 9 billion. And he says this. Now, listen to me and tell me what this means to you, Carol. He says, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health. Now, reproductive health service, you all know what that means, right? That's abortion. Reproductive plant parenthood, that's the warm, cuddly feeling of murdering the kids, what that is. Reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3. So he was talking about controlling the world's population. You know, that statement in itself is pretty stunning, I think, when you look at that. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say that Bill Gates is positioning himself as a great humanitarian. And I read that he's worth $98 billion. And that money is being used to fund all sorts of things. And his vision has always been for population control. And after that 2010 TED Talk, he has devoted himself over the last 10 years or so to research on vaccines. And he has experimented with those vaccines through his funded researchers on people in third world nations. And he's seen as someone that's trying to extend and prolong life. That is totally inconsistent with his desire to have population control and zero carbon emissions.
Yeah. I mean, to have zero carbon emissions, first of all, we would go back to the Stone Age, Carol. I mean, everybody's got to understand that. It doesn't exist. And that whole argument becomes the big climate change Al Gore conversation, which we talk about all the time here on the planet. I've got scientists on all the time talking about that. And that's not really the direction today, but it gives you an idea of what his master plan is, the zero carbon emissions kind of thing.
Well, I think his plan is so much bigger than the average person realizes.
Yeah.
He's on a lot of national TV shows now. He seems to be positioning himself so that he can be a household name. And when President Trump is mentioned in connection with the pandemic, often, you know, Bill Gates is mentioned also because he's saying that he pushed really for the shutdown of the country. He was part of a group of people that simulated last year a pandemic involving the human coronavirus being transmitted through a bat. He was with the people from Johns Hopkins University. They set up that map last year. Everything was in place. And so I think that he wants to be a much bigger player than he is now. And I wouldn't be surprised one bit if he didn't decide to run for president in 2024. His ambitions are not, you know, domestic, they're global, but being president of the United States would be a good platform to move from.
That is a really valid point because, you know, everybody knows that 2020 is really untouchable, Carol. It's too late and there, no one's going to be able to take Trump out. And they know the American people are with the president. I think you agree with that statement. And I think that Bill Gates knows that. So you're exactly right. There's a lot of positioning going on right now for actually the 2024 race, which really becomes what happens after President Trump. That's a little bit scary, isn't it?
It is scary. And when you, in your introduction, you talked about why people have asked you, why hasn't President Trump removed Dr. Fauci or Dr. Burke? Well, they're career civil servants, and it's very difficult to remove career civil servants. But they also have deep ties into the, you know, the Gates Foundation. I'm told that Dr. Burke's daughter works for the Gates Foundation, and that she's married to a prominent Democratic activist, Dr. Fauci. I mean, he's all in with Bill Gates. And so President Trump, from the very beginning, he's been dependent on information from people that have goals that are totally different from his own.
Carol, do you think that Donald Trump knew, did the president know about Fauci and Burks before he put him in that position, do you think? I mean, did he know what he was dealing with, or do you think he discovered it after the fact?
I mean, he didn't exactly put them in the position. It's my understanding, Dr. Fauci, he's with CDC, I believe.
He is.
And so these people have job positions.
That's true.
And he could not have easily bypassed them. They're civil servants. And so if you think that the accusations made during the Mueller probe and various things that have occurred, right. Can you imagine what would have happened in the midst of this pandemic if he had tried to remove those officials because he distrusted them?
Yeah. You know, what we're speaking about right now actually is one of the core issues, Carol, because it actually, you see, I try to explain to people all the time that Trump is dealing with a system that is already in play. That's what you're saying. These civil servants, as you say. And by Washington standards, it's about impossible to, as you say, to remove civil servants on any level. I mean, in fact, Washington has a coronary every time that happens, no matter if they've done something or not. It's like a free pass where they can do whatever you want when you're in that position. And they almost always look the other way. If anything, they'll move your position, but hardly ever throw you out the door. And when they throw you out the door, that becomes like the big scandal, doesn't it?
It's yes. And it's very troubling that the CDC has made a number of bad mistakes over the years. They are as bad as the World Health Organization.
I was just going to say that.
We are stuck with them. And this whole idea or this whole policy decision that Dr. Burke discussed, where they're going to label, you know, just about all the deaths as coronavirus deaths, I've been told by some physicians that they're not even testing people when they die. If they come in with a fever and a cough, they're labeling that as coronavirus, whether it is or not. And so it seems to me that there are incentives for people who want to push vaccinations to inflate the number of people who die from coronavirus. And if we just look at the numbers objectively, the pandemic pales in comparison to pandemics of the past.
I accept what you say moments ago there about Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx with the fact civil servants, and because a lot of people have asked me why that they're in that position. And I accept what you say there, that it's kind of hard to maneuver around those things. You have to deal with the system that's in play, which has been the problem from the beginning with President Trump. But what he's trying to do is get around this system. That's real hard to do from a system that has been building for decades and a very long time. And like you just said, with the WHO, the World Health Organization, and then the CDC, and then the United Nations, and all these corrupt organizations, they're already in play. And this has been building. So, Carol, we've sort of been at a down cycle now, kind of, you talk about flattening the curve. It's also like flattening the American curve, because these things have been building for the last, really over the last 100 years. These organizations have gained steam, and we've sort of been changing the trajectory of America from our prime days, you know, whether that was the 60s or 70s or 80s or whatever, you know, we were at the top of the heap. And we seem to be at a down cycle right now. I don't know. It's pretty unnerving right now what's happening in the world that we're seeing you almost can't believe this is all happening, can you?
Well, I mean, I've talked about this in a different context. The Marxists, you know, they had a plan for changing our society, and many of them went into government, they went into academia, just various fields. They have infiltrated just every major organization in society, and they are very united on their vision to advance socialism in the country. And I believe that that is what we're seeing, that they had a stronger foothold than most people imagined.
Yeah. But nobody believed it when we were talking about it. And nobody really was understanding what was being said. They looked at a lot of the stuff as far out talk or conspiracy talk, Carol. And now we're seeing the fruits of all of this, I think. And it just doesn't escape me right now what's happening in the world.
But even now, the average American doesn't see it. And exactly. So they have no idea about what's taking place. Yesterday, I interviewed a doctor. And this physician, she has been board certified trauma and emergency medicine doctor for 28 years. And she says for the first time, they received letters telling them that they could not prescribe the two drugs that have been most effective in treating COVID-19 patients unless the patient had already been tested for COVID-19 and had a positive result. She says the first time she has ever had an external agency send out such a letter. And they were also asked to report any fellow physicians they knew were prescribing those drugs.
You see, and which brings me to the point that there's so much wrong information out there and bad information that people are gathering right now. And all of this is being pushed out onto the public, and the public is utterly confused right now. In fact, Carol, you know, you must chuckle all the time when you go to social media, because when you see a lot of the comments from people, I mean, it really is a chuckle. Although there's a lot of truth in social media, isn't there, Carol? A lot of truth throughout those things, don't you think?
I'm encouraged by the number of people who can see through
exactly
what's taking place. And this physician that I interviewed, and you know, she has Harvard connections. And so this is not someone, you know, that you can easily dismiss. She is risking her career by speaking out on the things that don't add up. And okay. It's obvious that there is an incentive to inflate the number of coronavirus deaths. There is a political agenda. The people that were pushing the shutdown of the country, many of them were hoping that it would tank the economy as it did, but that would hurt President Trump. Some of them spoke openly about that. And there's a financial incentive because Bill Gates, he has the patent already on a vaccine. And Dr. Fauci has already said that we will have coronavirus return in the fall and we need to get vaccinated. The vaccination might not be ready, but everything is just lined up in a particular kind of way. And we know that, there's lots of reasons for healthy skepticism and should be deep concerns about how this was used to get control over the lives of Americans
to
suppress their rights under the Constitution.
Yeah, well, let me tell folks again, we're speaking with Dr. Carol Swain. I want to talk more about the vaccination she's just talking about that they are looking for the coronavirus. And then Bill Gates, there's a lot more to Gates, this conversation. He wants to not only vaccinate the world, but he wants to ID. He's involved in all this ID business where they want to ID everybody in the world so they know where you're at. You remember watching, friends, those futuristic movies where they walked around and like the biometrics in the eyes and people, we were all sort of numbers. And we all sort of chuckled to ourselves. They were so far-fetched. We thought, that's never going to happen here. Get out of here. It's just, you know, kind of science fiction sort of laugh, kind of filling afternoon. Well, I'll tell you, it's mind-blowing. Some of the minds that have produced some of our entertainment, when you look back, I think about that a lot over the past years. And you watch some of those thinking that would never happen here. And boy, here we are. So lots to talk about there. Well, let me take a quick moment as we pause here and remind you, back at AmericaOutloud.com is where we have all the news and information. We have podcasts, talk radio, videos. It's all there back on the network. One of the things I want to touch with you, I don't want to fail to tell you folks today, it's so important with these pandemics and these viruses. And as Dr. Carol was just saying a moment ago, that these things, you know, they're predicted coming back in the fall, and then you see other possible pandemics and things happening. In other words, we could very well be in a new world order here, happening here, where this is going to become more commonplace than we think or we would like. And so we have to think, what's that really mean for the future? You know, but this could be a real game changer, what we're going through right now. One of the things that's most important is our health, all of us, our health and well-being. And I think that, you know, one of the things with this COVID business, if people that are sick or not well or bad case of diabetes, or their health system has been compromised, their immunity system, you hear about that all the time, your immunity system. It's really important as people, I can't stress this enough to you all, that you take care of yourself. And I tell you all the time this, simple walks, taking the right things, eating the right, the quality of lifestyle is what I'm speaking about here. One of the things you hear the commercials on the network all the time, and I love this company, is Healthy Cell. And the reason I love Healthy Cell is because I started taking it a couple of years ago, and it made a big change dramatically in my life, period. That's what it did. And so I had the companies up in the Northeast, and I contacted them at the time. And anyways, they became a sponsor, and we've had a great relationship over the last couple of years. But the reason I do is because I take Healthy Cell myself. And I want to encourage you as well, because it really conditions the health of your cells. And that's most critical, people, the health of your cells. If we don't invest in ourselves, what are we going to invest in? I mean, think about that in those terms. And so I recommend the Healthy Cell product. You can take supplements, or there's a gel you can take. It's very, very easy. And the health of your immunity system is what I'm speaking about here. And if you've taken good care of yourself, the chances if you get hit with one of these viruses or problems, you don't get knocked on your ass, basically. That's what I'm suggesting to you. You have a fighting chance, people. So please listen to me and take care of you, please, first. Forget the rest of it. Doesn't matter. Forget the cappuccinos. This is what's important. If we're not here to fight the good fight, what else matters at that point? So think about it in those terms. And you can see there's a banner ad at America Out Loud, or just go to healthycell.com/outloud. Our listeners get 20% off their first order. Anybody who's listening to the program here, it's the only place you get is 20% off, and I've negotiated that with the company. So again, Healthy Cell is where you want to go. Protect yourself, people. Protect your immunity system and live a healthier life, please. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
As we join back here on the program here, I'm speaking with Dr. Carol Swain, and we're speaking here a little bit about the world order, I guess, more or less. But we kind of, one of the deep dives I want to do is Bill Gates. And Carol, you talked about the vaccine. Before I get to some particular tweets I want to talk to you about, you mentioned the vaccine up front, that they're looking for a vaccine. They were talking initially about 18 months it would take to have this vaccine out there. How do you feel about how important is this coronavirus vaccine? What's your thoughts about this with everybody you've spoke to? And, you know, how important is this in the fight ahead here?
I can tell you that it's my understanding that they already have a vaccine and that there's some talk of something being available in the fall. So it's one of those areas where you get conflicting information.
Do we want this vaccine?
It depends on who you are. I don't have any intentions of taking it. I'm very concerned about any vaccine that is created and funded by someone who wants to reduce the world's population. And I've been told that Bill Gates, the statement that he made about vaccines being part of the solution, that he was really saying that if you gave people vaccines, fewer of their children would die and they would have less smaller families. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either, but that's how someone explained to me what he meant by including vaccines among the ways you could reduce the population.
Carol, for the people who think that Bill Gates is in the good camp and doing really good, and there are a lot of people, a lot of Americans actually, who think Bill Gates is in the good camp, he's doing good work. How do they come to that conclusion when you read the statement back with the TED Talk in 2010 and you match that with what you just said? And when he says right here, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could, well, lower perhaps 10-15% of the population. I mean, how can someone intelligent not understand what that means? Do you have any idea?
Because he gives millions and millions of dollars to, quote, good causes. And he was one of the persons that really pushed the Common Core, that most Christians, and not just Christians, but various people, looked at that curriculum and saw how biased it was and that it really was dumbing down the education. And one thing that the Common Core did was made it much more difficult for parents to sit down and help their children with their homework. Yes. So it created a conflict between parents, children, and teachers, because teachers pretty much told the children if they got it wrong, well, pretty much the parents were not able to help with the new math as taught by Common Core because it's illogical and in some cases it's absolutely wrong.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I mean, a lot of states have disbanded it and thrown it out. They don't want anything to do with it. But again, Carol, this was a brilliant move from the far left socialist Democrats to take over the education system some years ago. I mean, they took it all over and they pretty well have run it. And we've seen that fight years ago with everybody even just basically speaking at a university became a very controversial moment for a conservative voice. And we kind of struggled at that over the past 5, 6, 8, 10 years. But, Carol, there's a point to all this, isn't there?
Well, there is a point to it. And, again, going back to Bill Gates, he gives, I would say millions, but we could say billions because he has so much to other nations. But he also is able to buy influence with foreign leaders, experiment on their populations, because in the U.S. they have very strict regulations on human subjects. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just test drugs out on human subjects that easily in the United States, but you certainly can in third world nations.
That's right. And that's prime picking for all of them here. I'd like to get you to comment on some of these. These are real people, real Americans who have put out messages on some of the tweets and messages that I think are interesting and worthy to discuss. But one of the points before that, Carol, is Henry Kissinger. Everybody knows the name, the former Secretary of State. He has a new article in the Wall Street Journal, and it's the coronavirus pandemic will forever alter the world order. And he talks about infectious control, vaccinating large segments of the population, healing the world's economy. And then he says this really remarkable message, Carol. He says, safeguard the liberal world order. He talks about safeguard the liberal world order. What do you make of those comments in that article from Dr. Kissinger?
Well, first of all, they want to give the whole world a digital ID. Mm-hmm. And anyone that, you know, questions that, you can go to ID 2020. And when Bill Gates stepped down from Microsoft, he stepped down to devote himself to this ID 2020. The ID 2020, again, wants to give everyone a digital identity, but there's also a push by the World Health Organization and other entities to move away from paper money and coins, because they say paper money and coins spread disease. Move towards digital currency such as Bitcoin. Their vision is to have a microchip that can be injected through a vaccination, and that microchip would contain everything about a person. So it's not just surveillance of people, it's also your health information, which is already in the cloud, your health information, your banking information, everything about a person's identity, they would like to control that. So it's really about world domination. And I would say, as a Christian, everything is in place for all the things that are prophesied in Revelation, where you would not be able to buy or sell unless you had the mark of the beast. And so it is interesting times that we're living in. Mm-hmm. I don't expect any of this to make a bit of sense to people who don't study the Bible, who are not Christians, but I can tell you that it's all laid out there very clearly. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in history, I think the technology is there to make everything possible.
Wow. Wow. Just want to put that into our minds a moment, what Dr. Swain says right there, people. Just put that in your mind. Just pause a moment and put that in your mind, what she puts out there in Revelations. It's interesting. And I've been saying for so many years to you all, and how blessed we are to be here living in this world, and what interesting times we live in, and that we're here at a very unique, important time of mankind. And now you just say what you say, Carol. It's fascinating to me. I want to talk more about that Revelations in just a moment here. Before I do here, I want to get to some specific tweets, and let's just talk about these a moment here. David says, COVID-1984, Henry Kissinger and Bill Gates calls for mass vaccination and global government. Exactly what my books have predicted over 30 years with these two psychopaths so often mentioned. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. So David's warning the world there that exactly what you're saying. Any thoughts to his tweet, the message he says that?
We tend, as those of us who are conservatives, who are Republicans, to think in terms of bad guys, good guys. The Republicans are the good guys, the Democrats are the bad guys. We should think about George H. Bush, because he was very much in favor of a new world order. Mm-hmm. And it really is the elites against the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And those people that are often educated at the Ivy League schools, mm-hmm. they have a different vision for the world. And many of them are eugenicists. They believe that the world should be populated by a certain kind of person. And I think that there is a danger, and that they do want to create this new world order that's global.
Yeah, it's just fascinating because, you know, when they used to talk about new world order 10 years ago, I was listening, but I really didn't buy into the theory that it was really happening. And now you see it all playing out in real time, as you say, Carol, and then you kind of say, wow. Like, is this thing really happening? Well, listen, also, Vanessa says, in quote, meet the world's most powerful doctor, Bill Gates. Over the past decade, the world's richest man has become the World Health Organization's second biggest donor, second only to the United States and just above the United Kingdom. I didn't know that, Carol. Did you?
I've heard that. And again, the World Health Organization, the CDC, all of those people Gates is involved. His hand is in many pots.
Well, then that brings me to this tweet. I'd like you to, I don't know how you size this up, but Charlotte says, hashtag Bill Gates is the single biggest threat to the human race. Does Charlotte have a point?
All I can say is that the globalist agenda is taking place, and he's a big player in that. And if I look at things through my spiritual eyes, mm-hmm. as I have done in a newly published article, I would say that everything that's prophesied in Revelation has to take place, and you need people on the scene that bring it about. And so clearly, because of all the technological advances, we see these things coming together in a way that many of us never imagined that things could happen so quickly. I never imagined that the United States and other major cities of the world would be shut down on the basis of the information we have about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The coronavirus pandemic pales in comparison to pandemics of the past, even H1N1. And so there's something going on that's so much bigger than what most people can grasp. And the news media, they are involved as well as these major players in pushing a narrative. And I believe that the narrative that's being pushed is a false narrative. And while we are focused on coronavirus and we're locked down in our homes, things are taking place. I do trust President Trump, and I believe he will be reelected, but he is the major player that's standing in the way of what they had hoped to do through Hillary Clinton.
2 points to what you say there. There's a very interesting article on the platform from Dr. Joel S. Holmes, who is out of Europe, and it's entitled to what you were just talking about, Carol, A Shocking Look at Obama H1N1 versus Trump COVID-19. And what you're speaking about really is the numbers don't add up when you look at all this. And that's what you're saying, Carol, right? I mean, the numbers don't
add up. I've been saying it from day one.
Yeah. Well, that article is one of the number one articles this week on the platform, on America Out Loud, A Shocking Look at Obama H1N1 versus Trump COVID-19. Go read it, people, and be informed for yourself, please. It's up near the top of the site there. Now, the other article that Carol just mentioned about Revelations, and Carol is a brilliant writer with great thoughts, as you hear, also will be on AmericaOutLoud.com, but you're hearing this today. If you're hearing this on talk radio, it is Thursday. It will be on the platform Friday, so you need to come back, and you need to read that article she just talked about on Revelations, where she lays it out. But the key is you got to come back tomorrow to the platform, and it'll be there all weekend, prime up at the top there, but don't forget to read it, people. Mike says this: Bill Gates met with the Chinese in 2015. I don't trust him, and I don't trust Fauci either, because he's in the back pocket of Bill Gates. Both of them are opposed to this hydroxychloroquine as treatment, not a cure. However, the Gates Foundation is working on a vaccine, thinking this smells a little fishy. Carol, what do you say to that?
I just would say that people can do the research for themselves. I've posted lots of articles on my Twitter, which is at Carol M. Swain, and on my Facebook, and you can go to the sources and draw your own conclusions.
Yeah. You do share a lot of good information. I've noticed that. You've been on a march lately here. I got to credit you fully. I've been watching some of the stuff you put out there. If you tag me in some of those as you move forward, I'll reshare them and get them out to everybody, Carol. But I love the way you put some of those out there. Kat on Twitter says, of course he won't vax his own kids. He knows that the carcinogens that are in these things will damage, and they do cause things like autism and childhood cancer, and heaven knows. And there's always been a very controversial things, ADD, ADHD, and all these kinds of things coming out of these the carcinogens on the viruses, the vaccines, Carol, you know. There was another one that said the mark of the beast, those vaccines contain tracking chips, which is what you were just saying with the ID. And this ID thing is very interesting, people. There's a lot to this, but because the goal at ID 2020 is to use technology and microchips to identify, track, and monitor the world's population. I mean, I went and dived into those websites. It's very fascinating what they're saying. And they get in there. There was an interesting piece, Carol, on a website here. And on the ID 2020 certification mark, the global call for digital ID. And it gets into Revelations, and I want to read you this here. In Revelation 13, the Bible describes a beast who will have power over all kindreds and tongues and nations and all them that dwell on the earth, and that he would cause everyone to make a mark or a number that without it you cannot buy or sell, which is what you were talking about 10 minutes ago. Now, in Revelations 13, 16 to 17 chapters, it says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he have the mark or the number of his name. Carol, this is really beyond fishy at this point.
Well, here's the thing. It's just so incredible. It sounds incredible to everyone, but the articles, and I give the address to one of them about biometrics. Mm-hmm. They really do want to use the vaccination to inject the microchip. And the argument that they're making is that in poor countries right now, and I think in Bangladesh, they are already experimenting with it, they will know who's vaccinated and who isn't. So right now they're saying it's all about vaccinations. There is talk already about making the coronavirus vaccination mandatory for everyone. And I have friends who are doctors and nurses that work at hospitals such as Vanderbilt, and they are, to keep their jobs, they have to get vaccinated for flu and various things. And it's a requirement.
Well, the word mandatory goes against everything we stand for, Carol. I mean, the word mandatory should never be in any of these conversations, because free will is what we were given from God, not from government. You understand? You
know? Well, we have lost our freedoms. My friends that live in California say that they are being told that they can only congregate with their family members. If they see anyone breaking the rules, being outside without a mask, that they're to report those people. And as I mentioned, the physician says that she received this letter saying that she can't prescribe certain drugs to her patients without risking her license unless she knows for sure they have COVID-19. That level of micromanagement has never occurred before. And there was all this talk about the ventilators. There have been doctors, emergency room doctors, that are saying that the ventilators are actually killing people, because when they come in, they're having difficulty breathing. The ventilator forces air into their lungs, and that's not the best treatment for most people.
And it's all tainted as well, the information about the ventilators. Now they're finding they got more than they need in a lot of these markets, Carol.
Everything was exaggerated. Right. The mayor of New York, everyone, there's a political agenda behind all of this. So he said he needed 30,000, and there was all this talk that President Trump and people were not delivering them. And it turns out that he needs only 5,000.
Carol, I think they were trying to catch, my guess is, they were trying to catch President Trump with his pants down on this one, I think. And what happened is, when the president took control of this whole crisis, and he started with the daily conferences, and he started really pushing hard to get the dollars out to the American people and do all the things that he's been doing, I think that shocked and stunned a lot of the left, to the point that they realized that this president, again, is playing 10-level chess, Carol. It's what I said early on, wasn't it?
Well, what is happening is that they're realizing that their plan has backfired. And
exactly.
Now all of a sudden,
exactly,
they're saying, you know, it's not going to be that many deaths, but they're still trying to keep the economy shut down. I have watched President Trump. He has excellent instincts, and
that's
he
right.
wanted to open the country up by Easter. And I think that's what should have happened. And he was shut down by his advisors. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason to lock down the country. The only logical thing that should have been happened was quarantining the people that had the disease and people, you know, who were sick, staying at home and excluding themselves. But this whole thing of shutting down the whole country, mm-hmm, because some hotspots have a high disease rate, I think that was something that the political left wanted, because they wanted to hurt the Trump economy.
And there are a lot of people right this very moment still talking about keeping it shut down for another 18 months. They're talking about until this virus, this miracle cure, comes from, I guess, the Bill Gates mindset, more or less. So that kind of tells you, plays to the narrative of what you're speaking. And, you know, someone said to me just yesterday, said, can you believe, like, there's nobody out on the streets of Las Vegas? I mean, like, you can't even imagine that happens. Like, Vegas doesn't ever close. What the hell is going on here, man? It's a city that doesn't sleep. I said, well, right now everybody's sleeping, right?
It's that way around the world, and it's backfiring, I believe.
Yeah. Carol, the one thing I want to ask you about the models and the flattening of the curve that you just asked, do you think it's more the fact that the numbers were off, and this is important, in everything you've studied and looked at, do you believe it's because of the social distancing, which really was this environment that we shut it all down, that has sort of nipped this thing and lowered the numbers dramatically? Or is it by chance that they put the wrong numbers into the models to begin with? What do you think it is?
The models were flawed from the very beginning because they were based on people who were already sick. They were coming in to be tested, and they were using, you know, numbers from around the world, third world nations as well as first world nations. They were putting it all together. And I believe that the models were wrong from the very beginning. The models that were used to shut down cities, they predicted that they would need far more hospital beds than they did. For the model COVID Act Now that most cities and states use, it was designed by three Democratic activists, one a member of Congress, and that's in another article that I published. And so from the very beginning, they tried to instill fear and panic among governors and mayors about how many hospital beds they would need. And so the projections are wildly off. They're saying now, oh, we were right. It was the social distancing. I don't think that it was the social distancing. I think it was the models that were flawed from the very beginning.
So, and a lot of people would agree with what you just said, and many of our listeners would agree with the statement you just said. However, the president put out a tweet earlier today that says this. It says, a key coronavirus model is now predicting far fewer deaths than the numbers shown in earlier models. That's because the American people are doing a great job. Social distancing, et cetera. Keep going, exclamation mark. Now, two things in that tweet. He does say far fewer deaths than the numbers shown in earlier models. So that's sort of a clue to the fact that the models were off, and the president knows that. I mean, he's intellectually smart. He gets it. But the second part of that, is that just his rallying call to go along again to the to these people to play along, Carol? Or why does he say that?
I don't know. All I know is that Dr. Burke and various ones are, and even Bill Gates is saying that it was because of the shutdown and the social distancing. That's what saved the lives. And so there's no way to ever know, but we do know that the models were flawed. In fact, there's a selection bias. I don't know why statisticians have not been speaking very loudly about this, but the problem is that they were always making their projections based on people who were sick with the disease or had come in to be tested because they thought they had the disease. And so if they were looking at a random sample of the U.S. population and testing that population and making projections, the small numbers we have now would be even lower.
In 2 Corinthians 11:14, and basically to sum it up, we need to understand that one of Satan's well-known tricks is to disguise himself as an angel of light. Is that where we're at right now?
Well, I'm telling you that the Antichrist is going to deceive the whole world, and people are going to give him power and authority because they believe that he's going to solve all of their problems, that he has it all under control. And so this is going to be a person that is likable, and it's going to be a person that people see as having the solution.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you more about the solutions and who is likable just after this pause. People, be back with more Voice of the Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Listen, I'm a bit of a skeptic as well at times on the New World Order and the globalist movement. I have been, being not a non-conspiracial guy and a guy of real news and information. But, you know, when that real-time news and information hits the Book of Revelations in such a way and does other things, I think then our eyes need to be wide open. I think we need to be wide open and aware of what the stakes are and what's coming next. So, you know, it's important that you take the information and you distill the information and you discover for yourself, which is exactly what Dr. Carol Swain was saying a moment ago. Having said that, I will put some of the links of the conversation we're having today with you into this post when it does indeed go to podcast, when it goes to the America Out Loud Podcast Network. We'll have the links in there and the information in there for you to do your own discovery. It's real important that you do your own discovery and you make the facts and the data and the decisions for yourself. You should believe nobody, really, honestly. And that is the best advice I can give you today. And I have to say that because there is so much rubbish out there. And I don't want you to leave here any given day and think you're just getting more rubbish. What you're getting is facts, data, thoughts, ideas in some sort of context. But really, at the end of the day, don't we all need to be thinking a little bit clearer and really with our eyes wide open so we understand what the motives are here? I try to bring other voices of reason and other good ideas and thoughts on Viewpoint this Sunday. Not my own viewpoint necessarily or what I think, because as I was saying to you just yesterday, I really applaud and appreciate the diversity of opinions. I do. I'd be happy to sit down and have an interview of a conversation with Bill Gates, in fact, or anyone else for that matter, who has a different point of view. Maybe they can enlighten us. Maybe they can get us to think a little bit differently of some sorts. And I'm open to that, whatever it is. I think the diversity of opinion is good. It's good for mankind. It's good for us as a people to embrace all sorts of thoughts and all sorts of ideologies and background. I think when you look at America Out Loud and you get the flavor and the diversity of thoughts and opinions on there, it's quite fascinating, some of the talks right now that you'll see on there. It is. They're conversations that are eye-opening, and they make you think in a way that you might not have thought before. I guess that's how I would like you to look at all of this, please, is that it's a mechanism to think, but think for yourself. Take the facts and data, make your own decisions and your own thoughts. Don't be led by us or by anyone else, please. That is not the idea here. So as we continue on here in the fight, as we celebrate our four-year anniversary here at America Out Loud, I'm pleased and privileged to bring to you the great voices and talents we have from all over the world. It is unrecognizable in the American culture today, in the media empire, what we have created here at America Out Loud. It is truly unique. It's just an important moment in time. And I think it's important we are armed with information and data and just real common sense. I'm happy that we're here to be part of this for you. And I thank you for being part of the mission here with me. It's time to get involved and get loud.